What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Man Show with a special guest here, Coach Eddie George, Bowling Green Falcons out of the MAC conference. I'll tell him offline about when we first met when I was 11 years old as a kid. Offline. So you see him on the show, man. Eddie George, come on, full circle, Eddie. For me being a little kid, you've been a player to your coach. I'm radio host now.
Well, now I'm showing my age now. Now you're telling how old I am. But I'm so happy for you, boss man. I mean, look, you went to TSU, you did your thing there, a two-time graduate there at TSU, and now you're in Atlanta doing big things on your radio show, talking everything sports. So, and I guess you had the epiphany to do a show over having a cheesesteak, right?
Yes.
At Avon. Yeah, yeah. Now, where'd you get the cheesesteak from? That's very important for me. Now, where did you get the cheesesteak from, and was it good?
It was good. I forget my man's name, but he had a do-rag with the glasses. He fried them things like crazy, bro. So when I took my break from my 8 to 4, 4 or 5 classes, man, look, eating that cheesesteak, thinking about life, man, like, look, I know sports. I play sports. My dad's a coach.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this thing, too. Jim Rome is the only one that can talk sports. Bossman can do it, too. And since my dad was also a barber, that's too, Eddie, so he... In the shop, I was called J.R. Little Boss. That's called Big Boss.
I got you.
So that's where the name come from. My dad was Big Boss.
Uh-huh.
Little Boss. I'm named after my dad, so I'm like, let me do this. Let me do a play on this. J.R. The Boss Man. And then they said, The Boss Man Show.
Yeah. So that's how it all came about, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you were persistent in doing so. And that's even better, man. So congratulations to you, bro.
Hey, the best thing about this life, man, look, man, there are obstacles of being your own boss and being independent without any backing. There are challenges to it,
mm-hmm.
but I love it because no one can tell me or control what I say, how I say it, what guest I have. Because if I worked for a station, Eddie, I would have to ask my general manager, could I talk to you? Despite me knowing you, you knowing me, I'll have to ask for permission to talk to you.
Wow.
This route, I asked myself.
Wow. Wow. Say, you're doing it independently. And, I mean, that's like the Pat McAfee deal. So, continue to – I mean, I pray that you get explosion like that and it blows up for you, man. I think you're doing a phenomenal job, bro.
Eddie, I'll tell you the truth. Like I told people on the show before, I've had offers to leave and do my – be with other people, but it came at a cost. I had to give up being myself.
Oh, yeah.
And to me – 6 figures ain't worth giving up who I am.
Yeah.
Every dime I make here is because who I am, I feel to be myself.
You believe in it. That's your convictions. Those are your convictions. You stand on that. You believe in it. You'll die for it. That's a beautiful thing, man. And you'll get rewarded for that. You know, staying true to your authentic voice, man. That's awesome.
No doubt, brother. Man, let me ask you this, man. The opportunity to go to Bowling Green, man. I know we got the job in March, right around my birthday. You know, got that job in March, man. So
March 10th.
So talk about the opportunity, man. What stood out to you about it? The opportunity to go up there and coach this great university and be around in this MAC conference, the MACtion, man.
Yeah, I know. MAC is a very strong conference, man. Just the coaches that have come through this conference over the years, Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, you have Lou Holtz, just a slew of Urban Meyer. It the list just goes on. The amount of Hall of Fame coaches, Nick Saban at Toledo, played at Kent State. So it's historically speaking, it's a phenomenal conference to be a part of, associated with. They play some really good football in this area that I'm very familiar with, going to school here and so forth, and being a huge fan of college football through the years. The opportunity presented itself when I wasn't looking for it. Of course, you know, the success we had last year at Tennessee State, and that kind of got me some opportunities to talk to a few people. I did an interview with the Chicago Bears prior to receiving the job. And I did the Bill Walsh diversity program 2 years ago. So that's how that came about. But it really gave me an opportunity for other people to interview me for other opportunities. This happened in March. It wasn't during the typical hiring season. And, you know, I wasn't looking to go anywhere at the particular times. I was 2 weeks out from our spring ball. And the team that we had coming back, I had almost everybody coming back. I had everybody coming back with the exception of my quarterback. And I think we had an answer for that, you know, for what we're going to do. So I was excited about the possibilities of trying to repeat and going deeper into the playoffs and building off of last year's success, you know. And it came on a time when I was driving back from the combine. I was aware of the opportunity or aware of the situation that was happening at Bowling Green. I thought that, man, I would hate to be in that position, because that's a tough job to take at this point in time, you know, giving, you know, the 2 weeks out from spring ball, your recruiting cycle, coaching staff, instability, all of that was a mess. It was a crap show, you know. So, and I get a call from a Urban Meyer and a search firm to at least interview for the job. And I was like, man, I don't know about that, because I can't be out here looking for opportunities or interviewing for an opportunity, and I still got this team coming back for next year. Well, a lot of factors that went into it. Heading into the final year of my deal at Tennessee State, trying to figure out what the future held there. Of course, if you're familiar with the school and the uncertainties are surrounding it, it's you have to look at that. And I had no choice. And they're finding their footing and so forth. But talked about the opportunity with my son, looked at Bowling Green State, really found out, you know, who they were, you know, where they were from a stability standpoint, where they wanted to go, what the vision is, what the purpose is, and made sure that I was aligned with the same vision and the same mentality to grow this program to the next level. And that's to take it to national prominence and to win championships and to become relevant in college football. And I looked at all the factors. I mean, being in Ohio was a check mark. This university is now has the highest, the admissions is the highest it's ever been. One of the largest freshman classes in the school's history. They are very passionate about their football. The alumni base, the donors, they support their football teams. This is a great part of the country to be in. not too far from Detroit, about an hour away from Detroit, 30 minutes from Toledo, another 2 hours from Columbus, Ohio. The recruiting bed is a hotbed. You can win here at Bowling Green. There's a true commitment into building the sports programs. And again, the vision of our AD, Derek Vandermeer, is on point with what I believe in, very growth-minded, entrepreneurial spirit. And we don't necessarily think inside the box. We eliminate it in terms of what's possible. If something can't be done, we'll find creative ways to make it happen. And he's a man of his word, and it's been a great partnership working with him and our president, Rodney Rogers. And it's been good for me to get back into the state of Ohio. And the needle moves when I'm here. You know, I'm not being arrogant. It's because of what I've been able to accomplish in my collegiate days, the name the reputation I have in the community as a player, as a businessman, and so forth, resonates with a lot of the parents, and certainly the kids that don't know me, they've heard about me in some form or fashion. So now it's become a great opportunity because it kind of fits like a glove of all the things that I was looking for in a program. They're here, and this team is actually, you know, honestly on the cusp of doing some really great things based off of what they've been able to do under Scott Leffler and the job that he's done. So it was a very tough decision, boss man. Honestly, it was because, again, I'm a man of faith, and I was going to stand on that shield. I was going to stand on the sword and say, hey, you know, however it looks at Tennessee State, I'm going to go through the year and get through it and let the chips fall where they may. And but this opportunity was almost like God saying, hey, we're going to go a different direction. And I think it was a win-win for Tennessee State, myself, to go in this direction. Certainly it didn't help matters with kids wanting to leave and going to portal and all of that, but they'll stabilize. I think they have a great coach there now. And I think he's going to do a phenomenal job for them. So, you know, I think in the end, it all worked itself out.
No doubt, Eddie. And I appreciate you, what you did for my school. You left it better than when you found it, man. So I appreciate you for that and how you represented us very well, spoke on the issues you speak to for us as well. So you did a great job, and I'll always be thankful for you, what you did for my school. And Eddie, how important was it for you to bring guys like Clyde, Richard, Joe, Trav, and Fish with you, guys who helps with the success of TSU, for you personally and the players, make sure they came with you to reward them with that loyalty of being there for you and coming with the Bowling Green and being able to represent now with you up there?
Well, it was very important. The staff is blended, and it was a tough position to be in because this wasn't a team that didn't win ball games. They were on the cusp of winning a championship here. And it's third in the MAC, went 6-2. Played two Power Five schools to the end at their venues, Penn State and Texas A&M last year. One has been to a bowl game, so they've had success. And the coaching staff here was phenomenal. So the good thing was I had a plethora of coaches I can pick and choose from, but the bad part was there wasn't enough seats. And that's where I really had to rely on my discernment in terms of the best fit moving forward. The guys you just named off, Clyde and Brandon and Dwayne Alexander, who was new to our staff, coached at Tennessee Tech for a few years. It was important for me to have those guys around me because they understand the culture. They know what I'm looking for. They know they speak the language I speak. They know the vision that I have. They know how we operate together. And that was important for me to have some continuity there. But I had to look at this staff and see who were the right people to fit into our culture, who can be collaborative, who can be forward thinking, who are great teachers, not necessarily just coaches, but excellent teachers, great men of character. And who was professional enough to move in this direction, understand the situation, that had said, hey, you know, y'all didn't ask to be in the situation, but here we are. And how can we move through this amicably and move in a direction where we're all bought in and have ownership in this vision of where we're going in now? That was very important, because I can't have somebody on the staff that, hey, this is the way we used to do it, or this is my way, or this is our way. This is the vision that we're going to be married to, committed to. Can you commit to that? And that was a very tough deal. But guys like Richard McNutt, they're loyal. I had to have guys around me that were deeply loyal, devoted to building men, devoted to the culture, the vision that I have. And that's it. And that's why they're here right now.
And Eddie, I must say, being on sidelines around you, man, like, you really care about the players, because first thing you ask is he okay? When the guy gets hurt, is he okay? A lot mm-hmm. of coaches don't do that the way you do. You really do care. I witnessed it firsthand. You ask, is the young man okay? And yeah. I want to tell you, that's very commendable, because you see these young men as people, not just a number that can help you and your record, but you care about them as people. I just want to throw that out to people that you really do care. And when a young man may be nicked up, first thing you ask is he okay? How's he doing?
Yeah. Well, the central part of our core, of our culture, and what I'm building, is about coaching and developing the character of the person. That's number one. The very first thing is the development of the person. What is he thinking? You know, how does he think? What is his self-talk like? What are his habits? If I can understand, number one, what he wants and his vision and what he's thinking on a daily basis, and have an influence and impact on how he thinks and how he can marry his thoughts with his God-given purpose, we now are aligned, and I can head in that direction. So if I can really develop the character of the human being, of the person, as a byproduct of that, I'm going to get an exceptional player, because you can't compartmentalize your behavior. I can find out exactly who you are by looking at who you hang out with, what your house looks like, what your locker room looks like, and what your grades look like. Those four things I can look at and know, okay, this is who this person is. And I can watch how he works out. You know, just his behavior when he works out. Does he hide? Does he cut corners? You know, just little things tell big stories. So if I can do those things and hold that person accountable to that, then a byproduct, I'm going to be a great player. But ultimately, it is about these young men and developing their spirit, developing their minds, and helping them achieve excellence, and giving them a blueprint, a set of tools that they can navigate through life. Because ultimately, it's how you handle adversity, how you view adversity, how you respond to adversity, and how you learn from it. Those three factors truly matter as well, because that's what life is about, is how you navigate through the crucibles of life.
No doubt, Eddie. And also, man, I'm asking you, with camp right around the corner, Eddie, which you had a condensed spring and summer workouts that just ended for you guys. What are you literally excited about for camp? What can be your emphasis in camp as you guys get going to prepare for that first game against La Lafayette?
My emphasis is to flow through the next phase. I believe we had a very productive camp. We just had to get very simple and basic, because we didn't have a lot of time to implement our offense. We had to find out what these guys do well, what we want to do well, do as an offense, establish an identity. You know, that's going to be very important. Who are we? What do we do well? And how can we build off the strengths of our players holistically? The number one thing is that we have to be in elite condition. So pushing them beyond their comfort zone in our strength and conditioning program was very important. It's still very important that we do that, is that as to build toughness. How tough is this team? How together? So a couple things for fall camp is, one, to come out healthy. Two, identify what we do well across the board and really build on that. Less is more. And three, build a toughness that no matter who we play, that we're going to be fast, physical, disciplined, intelligent, and tough, you know, and we're going to learn how to finish in the fourth quarter. Regardless, we got to be able to throw iron fist for 60 minutes against anybody. And that's the mentality. You know, it doesn't matter where the game is played. It can be played in a dirt field, in the middle of nowhere. It can be played in the parking lot, be played in the stadium in the Detroit. It doesn't matter. You know, we go in, we lock the gate, we play with this at a certain standard, a certain pace, and we throw a fist. And we're going to do it with class. We're going to do it with intentionality, and we're going to do it fast and physical. Those are things that I want to see. I'm going to build off of that.
No, talk about Eddie. I was asking about this man as well. Looking at how the Mac plays on Tuesday nights, talk about that commercial for your university playing on Tuesday nights on ESPN, only game in town. So yep. The nation can watch what you and your team's about and how what Bowling Green can be and how that's a great infomercial for 3 hours, 4 hours of what this university can and will be if you come there.
Yeah, Mac action is something I'm looking forward to. I've seen it on TV as we prepared for our games during the course of the week. I remember keeping it on in the background, and we're looking. Matter of fact, last year I remember watching a game. I'm like, man, how are they playing a game on Tuesday? What is that like? You know, like, man, I mean, that's wild to me. But it allows us to reset the button. It's a mini bye week, if you will. We can heal up a little bit better, but it gives us a platform for people across the country to watch football. It's coming off the heels of Monday Night Football. Everybody loves the game. It'll be on in some form or fashion. And anybody that's interested and want to know where I'm at and how we're doing, they'll have a chance to just turn the game on Tuesday night. We have two games in December. That are being played on a Mac action. Excuse me, two games in November. They'll be played the last two on Tuesday. So we're excited about it as a staff, and this should be a lot of fun.
I have to admit this, Eddie. I was going to be working and watching, doing Atlanta Hawks stuff. I'm on my Android watching. I'm watching the match. I'm going to be watching the Hawks play. I'm over sports head. You know that. I'm watching the match. Watch the Hawks play. I'm watching. Okay. So I'm multitasking. I'm trying to do my main job watching the match as well.
Right. So, but it's a good deal. And hopefully people will tune in to watch our success and where we're at, what we're doing. Hopefully at that time we are competing for a championship.
And then I want to ask you about this. I just kind of referenced it offline, but I want to ask you about the move to Tennessee when you was a player with the Oilers. So you played in the Astrodome, which is an interesting place to play. Still standing, you know, which is amazing. Still standing.
Tokyo's in there.
Yeah, and then, you know, the move to Tennessee, playing in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl, then at Vanderbilt, then finally when they built the Adelphi Coliseum. So I just want to ask you, what was that experience like for you as a rookie, young player in the NFL, going through all these changes with locations and being in the midst of that?
Listen, a lot of people don't understand how difficult that is. As a rookie coming in, it was a lot of instability, a lot of uncertainty around the organization about where we were going to be. There were rumors out there floating around that, hey, we might be moving to Tennessee. We might be getting a stadium built in Houston. So it wasn't like I had a chance to find any stability or home. We were a nomadic football team, to your point. And we didn't have a lot of fan support. The year before I got there, the place was packed. Houston Astrodome was packed, and they won, you know, 7-8 ball games. But it was a love you blue days. But once that marriage got ugly and there was a divorce between Bud and the city and the fans, it was like nobody came. So we were literally playing in front of, you know, a few hundred fans. And we could hear individual conversations going on behind the bench. So it was weird. But we made it work. We still was an 8-8 team. And that's, I mean, we're still trying to find ways to be competitive. We're finding that edge. Move to Tennessee. Boom. Memphis was not feeling us because we were only there for a year. And it was like, nah, we're not playing that game. So the only time they came out was when Pittsburgh came. So that's when all the Pittsburgh fans come out. And again, it was no home field advantage. It was no identity. You wouldn't have an identity. And then we played Vanderbilt. Same thing. no identity. You know, people thought that there was a church revival going on at Vanderbilt's campus on Sundays when we played over there. There was really not a lot of interest in the oil. So I was concerned about, man, what's going to happen? But through all of that, I still was able to go on to have Pro Bowl years. I was not going to allow that to be a distraction. And Jeff Fisher didn't allow that to be a distraction. If there's a certain way that I was going to prepare, how I was going to play, and I was going to hold myself to a high standard regardless. I was going to be stronger because of it. And once we got our identity, became the Titans, went into Adelphia, to your point, changed the colors, had an identity. As soon as the PSLs went on sale, they were sold out. Boom. It was gone. And we were excited. And that's when that momentum kicked in. And it was a hell of a run for us. So you can't just discount and that how we were able to navigate that through that time without just winning two or three ball games. Because you have to think our facilities were atrocious. Our meeting rooms were in trailers. There were times when we couldn't practice in the winter because late in the season, because there was an ice storm and we couldn't go in the field and it wasn't maintenance, right? So we had to do walkthroughs in the parking lot or not practice at all. And these are the things that people don't see. We're having to work out in hallways, you know, and you're like, man, this is the NFL. Like, really? I had better facilities at Ohio State, at Bowling Green. But what that taught me was you don't need much. You need to be focused, and it makes you stronger when you're going through those tough times like that. And it that's probably became a really close-knit team because all we had was us. And we just built a strong brotherhood, a trust, and a bond because of that experience like no other. And that's – I attest that to – the perfect storm of us going into a new stadium and having a family tight-knit brotherhood that nobody could break that. And that's why we were really a tough-minded, physically tough football team.
Hey, Eddie, I must tell you, them 2 years before Adelphia, I was at 11 of your 16 games in Memphis, between Memphis and Nashville. I was as a kid. So I have a bunch of Falcons gear, the Tennessee Waller gear.
Nice.
So, but key, like I said, you know, I have a bunch of that gear. I have your jersey. I have a full jersey of yours, too, by the way.
Okay.
I still have it. I can't wear it, but I still got it.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So it was joyous to have you all around to see that, man. Like I told you, I helped push to bring y'all there. So and it's cool going to Nissan Stadium and still seeing your picture and Steve's picture up there when you come down North First to turn to go park.
Right.
It's cool to see that.
Yes.
And then on, you know, Church Street, I still see the sign where it says, buy all the tickets. It's this old sign right up from Baptist Hospital. You can see the old info of it, buy all the tickets still. The 33, oh, what number that was, but it's still up there on Church Street.
I remember that number. Yeah.
The last one for that point is this. I want to ask you about playing and back in the days of the multi-use stadium. How was it to play on the baseball diamonds back in the day with Cincinnati on the turf or Miami Oakland who had the grass and the diamond? How was it if he was running back trying to get footing when you got dirt out there on the field?
It was the worst. Miami was like that. Of course, we had a situation like that in the Astrodome playing in Philadelphia. You had those big seams where third base and the diamond was, and it was extremely dangerous. A lot of guys tore ACLs. Careers were ruined because of that stuff. It took a lot of years off of a guy's lives, honestly. But you know, playing on that turf in those conditions was really difficult because there are only a certain amount of plays that you can run. We had we were going on the dirt. Well, we had to be mindful not to run a tall sweep because the footing is not – you can't dig your feet in it and get downhill. Oakland was used to it, and they knew the field inside and out. But for teams that weren't accustomed to the changes and the nuances of it, it had a real old-school feel to it. Like playing, you know, Pop Warner, and you play in the dirt field, and it didn't matter, you know. So that was the mindset. And the gravel was nasty, was tough, it was very inconsistent. But yeah, it was hard on the body.
No doubt. Well, Eddie, man, thank you for your time today, man. I'm going to be cheering for you still like I always have, brother. And we'll have you on the show again down the road when you're after a big win, a bowl bid, and just to catch up with you and chit-chat with you about the game of football and life, man. It's been fun, man. See, like I said, it's great that they have to know you, because I was 11 years old, and now I can talk to you as a friend and as a colleague, man. So full circle for me talking to you, man. It's always a pleasure, and I'm thankful for what you did for my school, man.
Hey, boss man, God bless you, man. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
Thanks, brother. Be blessed, brother.
Brother.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com. Or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3 Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.